I wasn't scared to start the business. I think once I made my decision, I thought it was the perfect opportunity to kind of get rolling because business had slowed down a bit. So if there's any time for me to start something, it would have been during the time where I had the most time to kind of put my idea, pen and paper, and just get out there and get going.
Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts.
Hello, and welcome to the Ivy Podcast. I'm your host, Jess Elias, head of PMO for Reef Technology and founder of Hopetopia, a women empowerment nonprofit group. I'm excited to have Erica Witkowski here with me today, founder and principal at Witco Group. Erica, thank you so much for being with me today. Can you please give us a brief introduction?
Yeah, thanks for having me. So as Jess said, my name is Erica Witkowski, and I'm the founder of Witco Group, which is a commercial real estate brokerage firm here in South Florida that I started during the pandemic. So it's been a lot of fun, and I'm excited to kind of talk with you today about all things female empowerment.
Awesome. So besides starting a business in the pandemic, outside of your professional career, what would you say is your personal passion?
Yeah, I think my personal passion has kind of integrated a lot into my professional career. So I found that the things that fill me the most end up coming or leading from service. So whether that be from serving, I sit on the board for Camilla's House, which is a local nonprofit for homelessness, and we deal with the homeless youth there. So that's been a big passion project for me, is working with those youth. And then aside from that, I think during COVID, having to get re in touch with yourself has been the biggest thing. I think a lot of times I realized I was a human, and just you know me well, I was a human doing instead of a human kind of being. So It's kind of slowing down and really getting to know myself better. That means going for walks, morning meditations before I start my day, kind of recalibrating how I just interact with the world and myself. I think that has been one of the most enjoyable parts for me. And I guess that'll qualify as a passion lately.
Yeah, that's amazing. I guess to follow up on that, I would say, how has that passion, how has that, you know, reconnection to yourself during the pandemic, the meditation, the walks, how have you been able to intertwine that with Witco Group and maybe the reasoning and inspiration behind starting Witco Group during a pandemic?
Yeah, I think going back to realizing, I guess everyone had a lot of time of self-reflection. And for me, I realized that there was a big core part missing from the commercial real estate industry and how it was, how it's always been. It's kind of antiquated in that a lot of the times these big firms that I've worked for, and they're great firms too, but you have to report to shareholders. So a lot of times it just comes down, or it felt like it came down to just profits. And I realized a lot of the clients I work with, my favorite part working with them is to kind of be an extension of their team. And it's a long-term relationship for me. So I wanted to kind of reconfigure, and I thought there was a better way to service them. I think I went on a tangent, but...
You think you what?
I think I went on a tangent. I don't even know if I answered your question fully, but...
No, that's great. That's perfect. I think that it came from a place of passion. So I really understand. It sounds like you wanted to create like a boutique firm in order to provide that service to your clients at a personal, deeper level than at a large, you know, corporate level, which is very different in the industry, especially down here in South Florida.
Oh yeah, I think I realized too, it was actually the CEO of one of the top three firms globally when the pandemic happened. And no one knew how we were going to do tours or when people were going to get back to the office, stated, I'm not sure how we're going to go ahead and keep on doing tours during the pandemic with everything that's going on. And to me, that kind of blew my mind because I was thinking, it's 2020. We have technology at our fingertips. It should be so easy to implement these virtual tours, or even you see it in the residential world, and they were able to implement things so quickly and get them online. And I felt like commercial real estate is always, it feels like 5 to 10 years behind. Even that could go back down to like the demographics. If you look at the demographics of females in the commercial real estate world versus residential real estate, the numbers are, it's a staggering difference in the reflection of demographic for that.
So would you say that between the difference between the large brokerage firms and the boutique firm is sort of adaptability?
Yeah, I think for me, that was one of the main reasons why I started the boutique firm, was just to, the ability to be agile. I think when it comes to change and when you're hit in the face with things like COVID-19, the ability to be agile for your clients and implement things quickly without having to go through approval processes. For me, I wanted to have a say in how I could service my clients the quickest and the best and have control over that. And that was starting the firm and the way that I wanted to start it.
That's wonderful. Well, I am sure that you're not the only person who felt that way or feels that way about the industry. So as part of this change to open up your own boutique brokerage firm, did you receive any support or feedback or advice from others in the industry? I'm sure many others felt similar to you in the lack of, you know, client attention at that boutique level.
Yeah, I what's funny is in the industry, I don't think it was actually talked about a lot. I think when COVID happened, a lot of people were okay just coasting until we figured out what was going to happen after the pandemic. And that even, you saw that during the recession, a lot of the brokers kind of took a step back and were like, we're going to wait to see how this pans out before we move forward. So kind of seeing the different ways of implementation, of adaptability, I didn't really see that coming along. As it came from advice, I again had clients that kind of gave me advice to kind of push forward and that they were supportive of it. I didn't really tell too many people. I think sometimes when you tell a lot of people, you get inundated with opinions and it kind of makes it harder to take a leap, right? So I was very, I wanted to be careful to protect my idea or thought because I believed in it at the time. I didn't want any outside opinion to sway that decision. But once I went ahead and launched the firm in July, the outpouring actually surprisingly from brokers in the industry that I was even just acquaintances with, just calling and saying that we're supportive of you and we're rooting for you, was very touching to me because I wasn't expecting that, right? But just to hear that support, and it was actually very, I guess, heartwarming.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I really love what you said too about, you know, trying to keep your ideas sort of in an inner circle or like an incubator before you fully launched, because it would be difficult to have opinions from everyone else prior to deciding what it is that you wanted. But I think that's amazing that you had an outpouring of support after, and I'm sure it will continue.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think holding on to your ideas too, one of my favorite, I guess, quotes or things that I found useful was, if no one, you can't ask, it's hard to ask advice, and which I'm a big person of asking people for advice from people who haven't done it yet, because sometimes they'll project some of their fears onto it. And then you have your ideas almost tainted with that fear. Right. So yeah.
Well, let's actually talk about something that you just mentioned, which is fear. So you said you started Widco Group in 2020 amidst the COVID-19 pandemic. So the first question is, were you scared of starting the business during a global pandemic? If yes, how did you overcome your fear? And if not, what factored in your confidence?
I don't know if I'm just, to be completely honest, a weirdo, because I wasn't scared to start the business. I think once I made my decision, I thought it was the perfect opportunity to kind of get rolling because business had slowed down a bit. So if there's any time for me to start something, it would have been during the time where I had the most time to kind of put my idea, pen and paper, and just get out there and get going. So I didn't have that fear. And I think I still don't have, I think that's what's made it easy for me, is I in my head, I know it's going to work out and I already know it's going to be successful. It has been great. But when I started it, I knew the type of service I was going to give to my clients was already going to be well received, to where I didn't have a fear of failing. I don't know how else to put it. I didn't have that in my head.
That's awesome. So it sounds like you were already prepared for this, and it just seemed like the moment to strike.
Yeah. And I think there's never a right time, but in my head, I was thinking, I don't have kids right now. I don't have a family. I've saved up enough to where I could feel comfortable taking this leap. And if I didn't do it now, then when? Right. And I think that's what I always ask myself. If not now, then when? It's never going to feel right. Yeah.
Why postpone what you can do today?
Exactly. Yeah.
So next question is, how have you been able to survive and maybe even thrive during the pandemic?
Yeah, I think that kind of goes back to your rituals, right? I think a lot of times humans crave rituals, or at least I do, our routine. So for me, it was kind of creating, I was so used to having a schedule of waking up, going to work, coming back, maybe having my volunteer things, meeting friends for dinner or networking. And it kind of already was pre-planned before COVID. But during COVID, the way that I've been able to thrive is honestly just stepping back, slowing down, and just creating a routine that worked for me. And I realized I want to start my mornings off strong. So I have classic routine of making my bed, walking my dog, feeding my dog. And then right away, I'll put on my workout clothes and just head out the door and go for a run, followed by a walk, and then listen to an audiobook or podcast, then come home. So I think that's helped me kind of thrive, quote unquote, and just keeping in touch with friends, family, clients, and having conversations. Because a lot of us felt isolated, right? Yeah. It was just building that sense of community. And I think you did that with Hopetopia too. We were still doing our meetings virtually. And so you build this almost network of friends, but you are, now that you're not going out and grabbing a drink or whatnot, you're having these more intimate moments, which I think I will not change that after COVID. Kind of these hangouts that are more, what can we talk about that's going to grow our mindset? Or everyone started book clubs, or, you know, it's more
intimate.
Intimate.
For sure. Yeah, I love that. It's good having the routine. You know, I think having some quote unquote normalcy during the pandemic has definitely helped you, I guess, like survive in a way, like people with that routine. And then thriving, I totally agree. It's just like, how do you pivot? How do you talk earlier about adapting and being agile and just learning and changing? I think that it has been obviously a tragedy, what has gone on in the last year as it regards to people who have been sick, people who've passed away. But I think that there's still a lot of good things that have come out of it, who we are, more human, right? More intimate, like you said, instead of just going through the motions of our day to day, I think that we've really connected to each other, ironically enough, because we can't be around each other, but we've somehow connected on a deeper level. So I guess that is the thrive part. So awesome. And then lastly, as it regards to this question, fear, what strategies and innovations have you implemented to uniquely solve your problems in an effort to better serve your clients and partners? So obviously you had mentioned the confidence you had, you didn't have the fear, you knew that you would be able to make this happen. And so now that you've started Witco, now that you're, you know, got almost a year under your belt, what have you been able to do to innovate and serve your clients and partners better?
Yeah, and I think for me, it goes back to like the real personalization. Before I take on any project or any client, I sit down with them, we have a meeting, and I actually just want to, before we do a pitch or a dog and pony show, I just want to sit down with you and actually know, what do you need? What are your goals? And I think that lacks a lot of time in anything that's sales or service related. A lot of times you go in and you're like, this is why I'm wonderful and this is why I'm great. And it's like, you're already invited to the meeting because they think you're qualified. So for me, that's what I've loved about starting my own thing, is doing that part a little differently. My first meeting is, let me know about your project. What are your goals and what are you looking for? And then I'm going to come back to you with something that's tailored based on the demographics. If it's a building that I'm representing, and how we're going to target those people, what's actually going to be our marketing campaign. And if I'm representing a new business that's coming to market, it's better understanding their goals and kind of teaching them where where they should probably locate based on what they're looking for. So it goes back down to like tailoring it, and it sounds very basic, but just really customizing it based on the project and then implementing different marketing ideas. So in commercial real estate, you typically just send out e-blasts, take brokers to lunch, maybe we'll have a broker event. But that's pretty much a lot of brokers are saying, okay, I did my job, that's it, whatever happens, happens. For instance, I have office product in South Miami and the Gables, and we were realizing a lot of the suburbs have done pretty well during COVID, but we're realizing a lot of the tenants were coming from, they lived close by and they wanted to have their office there. So we implemented, we did the Facebook ads and Instagram ads, and then we also did mailers, postcards that specified what we had available that would work for them, and just saying, hey, this is like a 5-minute drive from your office, why wouldn't you want to work here? And that was actually quite successful. We had, we signed a lease by doing that and then had several inquiries from that. So it's just trying different things and having, I've loved having the ability to kind of implement these different ways of kind of solving these issues.
Very cool. So it sounds like listen more, one size does not fit all, and then how to, you know, pivot based on trends. So wonderful.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So we both have mentioned, you know, women empowerment. I obviously have Hopetopia, something that you've participated in, and I know something that is hugely important to both of us, women leadership, women empowerment. So my question is, based on a report that was conducted by the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor, GEM, in 2018 to 2019, it stated that worldwide, 6.2% of women owned a step 6.2% of women owned established businesses compared to 9.5% of men. And globally, younger women ages 25 to 44 had the highest entrepreneurial participation rate. So my question for you is, as a millennial female business owner and someone who is a strong advocate for women empowerment and leadership, what examples are you hoping to provide to other women in the commercial real estate industry?
Yeah, I think the main thing, and I wrote a vision statement when I started the firm of what I wanted to look and feel like. And I think for me, I wanted the experience to be, I wanted it to be inclusive of really helping females grow in the business. What I didn't realize would be, I guess, so powerful for people was that representation, right? You always hear representation matters. And for me, that didn't really quite click until the press release came out where I opened my own firm. And I probably had over 15 females that were actually all different age ranges, millennials too, people that were over 50, who were just like, I'm so proud of you for starting this firm. I think it's really ballsy. That's pretty much the message. And I hope to one day be able to open my own firm too. And for me, that was probably honestly one of the most powerful things, because you always hear that representation matters, but you think, okay, what? But yeah, it really does. If people see that someone else is doing it and you think you can do it as well. And I think that goes back down to like, even at the way we're marketing Barbies when we're younger, right? You saw the Barbie figure being one way, or it looked one way. So that's what we identified as being beautiful. But then now they're trying to change the representation of that too. But it does play a big role in, I think, our psychology of us going after things. Yeah.
I think there's definitely gender, race, biases everywhere based on our culture. And by seeing more women in these leadership type roles, or knowing that women can start their own businesses, I think it allows others to not, you know, see that as a hurdle, right? Like kids now, younger generations get to say that's normal. Younger generations get to see a woman vice president and think, okay, I can do that. That's not a huge milestone or change. That's something that is normal. And I think that's wonderful. Like you said, representation, that is what you're bringing to other women. So that's fantastic. And, you know, I'm a huge supporter of you as well. So I love that.
Well, same to you.
Okay. So next question. So this is a two-parter. How has the commercial real estate industry changed for women in the last 5 years? And how do you think it will continue for women to change for women over the next 5 years?
I don't think it's really changed in the last 5 years. And I think that's the truth. I started in the business. I interned during college. So probably in the last 10 years of me kind of having experience in working in commercial real estate, I would say actually probably 80% of the females that I started in brokerage with are no longer in the business. And a lot of it, if you were to ask them why, it would be because, to be quite fair, it wasn't fair. Their pay scale or how they were valued was not the same.
No,
the quality wasn't there. And you'll hear people say, we're all for equality and we're all for, having a wide range of like demographics that we hire from, but it's still lagging behind. And I think commercial real estate, how to change that is it's, to be honest, to get into brokerage, you either have to have a second job, save money, or come from money because it's commission-based only. So when you already have those restrictions to enter that field, it already restricts the candidates that you're going after, right? Those candidates will tend to all be educated the same, come from same background. So I think in order for that to change, I think it's on part with these major brokerage houses to kind of create a mentorship program where first-year brokers get paid. And I think that will help make the pool of brokers or even the industry more diversified. So that's what I'm hoping to do, as well as the first broker I bring on, is just to automatically have it paid so they're not stressed about where the money's going to come from. And that way you could hire someone that actually may look or think differently than you, which is what is probably the biggest win for any brokerage house. But yeah.
Yeah, I think diversity and perspective is a win for any industry. And I love what you said about, you know, providing that mentorship program, or at least ladder, right? I think any other industry has that. And when it's straight commission, is exactly what you said. It creates the chasm of like the dichotomy between the 1% and the rest. And everyone else who's in that industry is really hard to penetrate. So I love the disruption there.
Yeah, and I hope in the next 5 years that I think we have, for lack of better words, all kind of been a little more woke, and just kind of understanding that, oh, there's a big lapse in what we're seeing, our demographic, we're seeing in the market.
Time for shift.
Yeah, it's time for shift. So I think there'll be more corporate responsibility for people to implement these things. And that's what I'm hoping will change in the next 5 years.
I love that. More corporate responsibility. That was worth repeating.
Yeah.
All right, we're almost done here. So last two questions. The first one is, if you could pick only one book as your must-read book recommendation, what would it be?
So I would say currently I'm reading, one that's a daily read is The Daily Stoic, and it kind of is an easy one page every day, gives you a quote, breaks it down, and then you kind of can reflect on it yourself. It takes less than 10 minutes, easy implementation. And then one that I'm reading right now that I really enjoy is Think Like a Monk. And it's kind of the same principle of kind of how to clarify your own mind and thinking process. And I've really enjoyed those. I know that Brené Brown, we're both big fans of Brené Brown. So Daring Greatly was a big one that I was reading before starting the firm. So I love that book too as well.
Yeah, I feel like I live my life based on anything Brené Brown.
Homegirl can preach, and we are listening.
Absolutely. And I think that's going to help with general shift in our culture, and not just industries, but I think younger generations are, as you said, going to be more spiritually, mentally health woke. And so by the time they enter the workforce, I think those things will naturally change as well.
Yeah, 100%. What they have at their fingertips, what we have, even the ability that you guys have this podcast right now and are able to reach other people, like growing up, we didn't really have that. So even you have access to hear people that you would never have had access to hear before if it wasn't for podcasts or the internet or whatnot. So yeah.
Yeah, that goes back to the diversity that you talked about. So that's wonderful. Okay, last question, my signature question that I will ask all my guests. Do you have a personal mantra or favorite quote you'd like to share?
Personal mantra or favorite quote? I would say this sounds very basic, but everything happens for a reason. And I think you just leave it at that. Everything happens for reasons. Dusting out there. And a lot of times you won't realize it in the moment. If I were to look back and think of probably the hardest moments in life and you're like, why am I going through this? Retrospectively, pulling myself out there, going through it because you have to go through it and it's actually for the better and you don't realize it in the moment, right? So anytime I think that, and I don't even want to quote it as like something bad, but in my head, if it could be negative happens, I just think if I did everything I could in that situation and it didn't work out, then it wasn't meant to be. And just being accepting of that just changes and shifts your mindset for so many other things. So if it's meant to be, it'll be. And if that's pretty much it, it's very simple, but.
How stoic of you.
Thanks. I try. Those daily meetings are really working.
It's working. It's working. Yes. There's proof. Well, Erica, that's all for today. I very much appreciate you being here with me today. This was wonderful. I love always chatting with you, and I hope that our audience can feel that as well. I appreciate everything that you have provided today. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And I kind of have a question for you, Jess. What would be your number one book that you'd want to recommend to people? You have great book recommendations always, by the way.
I actually, funny enough, have a running list in my notes where I keep everything, as you know, because that's where I live my life. But it's funny, whenever someone asks me for a book recommendation, I just resend that list, but I always keep it up to date. So there's a lot of books on there, but my favorite book that I probably read once a year is The Alchemist.
Great one.
Yeah, it's I think some of it is stoicism there as well, but it's like this greater, bigger, you know, journey and feeling and belief and knowing that, you know, you should go after your personal legend, whatever that looks like, however that looks like. And I think people forget that it's not an easy journey. You want something, and I think it's easy for other people to be envious of others because of their success and they see the results, but they have no idea what you went through. And you and I sort of started our businesses around the same time. Like the amounts of like logos and colors and like different things that you have to think about that people don't realize. There's a lot, and it's not a straight and narrow path, right? There's so many things that go into the failures, right? People, and that goes back to Brené Brown, right? Probably my second, I would say not my second favorite, they're both probably on par together, but if I had to pick another one, it would be Daring Greatly and the vulnerability and just admitting the failures. Failures are not bad. And people say that, companies say that, but do you really live it? And do you really believe it and have tolerance to allow yourself to be vulnerable and then learn from that? So that would be.
Yeah, he talks about failure being kind of like the epicenter of creating creativity too, which I think is interesting.
Yes.
And the destiny thing that came, I took the destiny thing from when I read Alchemist too, the phrase maktab, which is pretty much it is written, same concept, but yeah, good book. But yeah. Thank you for having me on, Jess.
I appreciate it. Anytime.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.